praise and worship team for beautiful anointed singing. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5? 2 Samuel chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading at verse 17. And if you want to hold this and mark it, I'll also be over in Acts chapters 1 and 2 a little bit as I preach. But the brunt of our text will come from 2 Samuel chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Second Samuel chapter 5, verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it, and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them unto mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And David came to Baal-perazim. And David smote them there and said, The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me, as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burnt them. Now, I want you to pay attention to verse 22, because after the Philistines are defeated by the hand of God, look what immediately almost in verse 22 we read. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come up on them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou came to Gezer. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of the wind from heaven. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning, as always, for your presence. And Lord, we come today, again as always, to the Word of God, knowing our inability, but having faith and trust completely in the ability of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, it is He who we depend on and humbly ask for Him to anoint us today in Jesus' name. And Lord, let this message be a blessing of spiritual insight to your people. Let it open all of our eyes, Lord, to the position we have in Christ Jesus, and Lord, to the great power source of the Holy Spirit of God that is available to us as the sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. It was just before Memorial Day in 1944. In the beautiful city of San Francisco. San Francisco had been chosen as a logistics site to stock the great naval cargo ships with food, supplies, ammunition, and all types of logistics equipment to support the invasion on D-Day. And these ships had to be in position just outside of the shores of France to support the troops that were actually going to come and go ashore. But San Francisco had been experiencing some terrible weather. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I have two times. And the fog that rolls into the bay there in San Francisco can sometimes get so bad that you can, at times, literally, I'm not exaggerating, you can literally see, cannot see your hand in front of you. It gets that thick. And this time, just after Memorial Day, they had an unusual bout of weather where the fog was thicker and heavier than it normally was due to a cold front that was blocking off the warm southern air from blowing and holding that fog over the bay. And the ships had to leave within by the 1st of June to be able to get there, or else the troops going ashore would have no medical supplies, no logistic support of any kind, weapons, ammo, to back them up on the invasion at D-Day. And it looked like that this fog was not going to clear. The ships couldn't even see their way to sail out of the bay into the ocean to get the supplies there. The general of the army there, and his name escaped, it just blew out of my mind. I'm sorry, I only read this about five times this week, so age is catching up with me, folks. Anyway, the general, his name, I guess, isn't all that important, was a spiritual man, and he called on two of the pastors in San Francisco to pray. And he said, our only hope is that the wind blow. That southern, warm southern wind come down to blow the fog out, and the heat of that wind would cause the fog to dissipate. Well, these two pastors went to prayer, and early in the morning of June 1st, 1944, about 2 o'clock in the morning, inexplicably to man and against all weather forecasts, the strong southern wind began to blow. And by 6 o'clock in the morning, the general in his memoirs wrote that as the sun came up over the San Francisco Bay, it was like a clear summer morning. And those ships were able to sail and back up the troops at D-Day with supplies and logistics support. The general wrote in his memoirs, I liked what he wrote. He said, I knew our only hope was for the wind to blow. That hit me. I thought, that's a lot like us in the Christian life today. Our only hope is that the wind blow. But not just a physical wind. I'm talking about the wind of the Holy Spirit. The wind of the Holy Spirit blowing into our lives. In the text we read this morning concerning King David, he had not been on the throne but a few days. And the most dangerous time for the child of God is always right after a great blessing. I say danger in the fact Satan hates to see you blessed, because you are nothing but a reminder to him that he is defeated, that his doom is one day going to, he doesn't believe that, but he knows he can't do anything with you as a child of God. He hates the sight of you. Hence, after God blesses you, he's going to try and do everything he can to destroy that blessing. And King David had reached at this point in his life, he was probably about 32, 33 years old. He's now reached the zenith of what God has called him to do, be king over all Israel. And what's the first thing that happens? The Philistines hear of it, and you know in the Bible, you must know the Philistines are always a type of Satan. The Philistines hear about David ascending to the throne, and what's the first thing they do? They plan to launch an attack against him. Let's destroy this new king. And I, incidentally, I need to point out, it was very, very easy to put Saul on the throne of Israel. In the sense, there was no opposition. Why? Saul was man's choice. Not so with David. It was a hard road to get David there. Much opposition. Satan only takes the time to oppose that which God's going to bless. So are you being opposed this morning by the enemy? Are the powers of darkness coming against you? Well, shout. Go ahead and give the Lord a shout. Because you're doing something for the kingdom of God, and you're rattling the devil's cage, and hell don't like it. Praise God. Praise God. So David, at the zenith of his calling now, the first thing that happens, you would think, wouldn't you, that he'd get a little bit of time to enjoy it, as hard as it was for him to get there. But no, like that one guy used to say, but no, Satan don't work that way. He's always looking to attack. And so the Philistines come against this new king of Israel. And what you got to love about David as you study his life, and this is paramount to living successfully for God, of course, putting our faith in Christ and what he did at the cross, but David inquired about everything. I mean, really, he didn't try to go out and do nothing except he sought the Lord. Because he knew only in the Lord was he going to have any success at all. That was what made him such a great king. He did not rely on human intellect, although he had it greatly so. He did not rely on his ability as a mighty warrior, although he was one of the mightiest warriors to ever walk this planet. He always kept his faith in God, knowing God held the ultimate end to where he was going. And he inquired of the Lord and said, Lord, do you want me to go fight these Philistines? And the Lord said, you go fight, for I will doubtless deliver you. Now, this is shouting stuff right here. You know, it really is. And King David goes out against them, and Israel fights them. And let me use a somewhat, I hope it's not too off-color vernacular phrase, they just beat the snot out of them. I mean, they just smite the Philistines and nearly wipe them all out. Hallelujah, glory to God, a great victory. But what we need to know as believers, Satan ain't going to quit just because we beat him a time or two. We're going to be in this thing until the rapture of the church happens. I praise God for times that he gives us victory. We should rejoice in it. We should glorify in it. We should shout about it. We should give him praise and glory for it. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. But we must know, as great as that feeling is when God gives the victory, Satan's coming back around again. He ain't going to lay down and die just because God gave us one victory. And that's why I took the time to point it out. After this great victory, we read in verses 17 through 21. Go with me now to verse 22 and look what happens. And the Philistines came up yet again. What you and I need to know as believers, until we're called home to glory, thank God for the victories, but what you and I need to know, rejoice in those victories, but Satan ain't going to lay down and die. He's coming back again because he hates us as the men and women of God on this planet. He's coming back again. You might as well set your mind this way. You mean, Pastor, I'm going to have to fight till I'm called out of here in the rapture? The Lord takes me by way of the grave? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Oh, you missed a great chance to shout there. But that's the way it is. But we can always trust in our God, knowing that through Jesus Christ, he always gives us the victory. Hallelujah. That's what we can shout about. Nobody wants to shout about Satan fighting them all the time, but it's going to happen. But what we must know, if we will follow the same pattern that David did and not try and fight the enemy in our own strength, our own power, our own intellect, our own giftings, and we come against him, just what David said against Goliath. You come against me with a spear and a sword, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God, I feel that this morning. Our victory is already settled in Jesus Christ. If our faith is in what he did for us at the cross, there can never be no ultimate defeat in the child of God. Hallelujah! And David had a hold of this. But he knew he had to live out still in this natural life. And the Philistines come again, but look what David does again. And when David inquired of the Lord, you know what God told you to do one time that brought you victory that time, he may tell you to go a totally different path the next time. And if David had in self-will, had said, well, the last time the Lord just told me to march out there in the amongst of them and we'd whip them and make them run like scalded cats. I don't know why I'm using all this vernacular today and all this slang, but you know, he could have done that. He could have went that direction. But he knew his God. It's a great act of faith. God may not want it done that way this time. We've got to be careful with the Lord that we never lock him into a pattern to where we think, you know, hey, he did it this way before, he'll do it, I'll just go back and do the same thing again. That may get you in trouble with the Lord. You better do what David did. We'd all better do what David did. Inquire of him again. Because this battle might be different. Satan may be coming at you a different way. He may be attacking you from a little different angle. And if you study your Bible, you'll find out that's exactly what was going on with the way that this attack was coming from the Philistines. Because they were trying to attack Israel's flank rather than a direct on attack, because they had been beaten so miserably the first time they tried just a frontal attack. And the Lord says, no, David, this time don't go up. He said, form a compass around them. I didn't say that quite right. Let me read it right from the word. Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them. See, here God's given him a different battle plan. I'm going to bring it out to you in just a minute, the brilliance of it. Of course, it was God's battle plan. And when you fight in God's battle plan, you're always going to win. You're always going to win. The result's always going to be victory when you fight God's way. Hallelujah. And God's way of fighting for the New Testament believer is for us to rest in Jesus Christ, because we can't fight anyway. But the good news is, glory to God, I feel glory going through my soul on this. He's already fought the battle and won it for us. He already fought it and won it on Calvary's cross. He says, no, David, this time you don't go up. Fetch a compass behind them. In other words, he told David, as they were trying to attack Israel's flank, he said, you take your army now, David, and you go behind them. And he said, you wait until you hear a sound of a going in the mulberry bushes. And I, the Lord your God, am going to go out before you. Don't you feel that? I, the Lord your God, will go out before you. You know, there comes a time, the situations we're going to be faced with in this life, they're going to be so far above our ability and so overwhelming that if we try to go out and fight it, we're going to drive ourselves crazy. There's a time to just lay your weapons down, church, and rest in Jesus Christ. And just stand in faith. Don't give up any ground, but stand in faith knowing, Lord Jesus, you've already fought all my battles. You've already won them for me. I'm inquiring of you, what do you want me to do, if anything? And he might tell you, just stand still. Like he told David the second time. The first time he told David, you go face them head on. He might tell you that. But he might tell you also, you stand here and watch what I'm going to do for you. Hallelujah. And as David now obeys the Lord says, you stand still. Wait till you hear the sound of a going in the mulberry bushes. And then that'll be the sign that I, the Lord your God, am going out to fight for you. And I'll give you victory again. Now I want you to, with the Philistines being a type of Satan, I want you to get this picture spiritually. The Philistines attacked one way and failed. Satan's always trying that. He's always trying to come up with a new way to get at you and I as the people of God. And so the second time the Philistines come back, they're trying to attack Israel's flank, a different attack. Let's try it this way. Like, I love how my good friend Lauren Larson illustrates it. He said, Satan goes fishing in your pond. You know? I mean, he may drop pornography in front of you. That may not have any effect on you as a person. He sees you turn away from that. He might drop a bottle of Jim Beam in front of you. He might see your eyes light up on that. You see, he can't read your mind. He might, oh, okay, they bid on that one. I've got a way to attack there. They were enthralled with that one. And so that's in essence what's going on right here in this story. The first time the Philistines attacked frontally, they were failed. They were defeated. That don't mean Satan ain't coming back. And this time they're trying to attack Israel's flank. But get this. When God gives David the command, you're going back of them. The Philistines thought that the whole Israeli army was in front of them again. See, because Satan's not smart enough to change his tactic. Really. In essence, it's always the same. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. He always uses the same tactic, and that is trying to get you to do something that is outside of faith in Christ and what he did at the cross. Because he knows once he gets you outside the cross, you're toast. Oh, I missed a great chance to say amen there. That's any of us. Once he gets our faith placed in something other than the finished work of Jesus Christ, he knows he can get us to do just about anything he wants us to. Well, he can drop anything in front of us, and we'll do it. But the Philistines thought the Israeli army was in front of them, and now God tells David, you're going back of them, and wait till you hear a sound of a going in the mulberry bushes. What in essence it was a wind of heaven's army. An angelic army, marching through those mulberry bushes. Now I've got to believe, although the scripture doesn't specifically say this, and I prayed about this before preaching it, I don't believe I'm doing it any harm. I believe that was all, I know it was part of God's plan. But definitely David and Israel, I can tell you this of a surety. Definitely David and Israel heard that sound of the wind of God blowing through those mulberry bushes, which was God's army and God's power, the Holy Ghost. They heard it. I've got to believe that the Philistines heard it too. And they thought, my Lord, they're in front of us, and now they've got this mighty army coming in back of us. And I believe fear so struck their hearts as God himself went out and fought that battle for them. Yes, give the Lord a hand of praise. Now let's preach. That is exactly what Jesus Christ did and is doing now for you, child of God. The situation that's over your head, the one that you feel like, oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Inquire of the Lord. Inquire of the Lord. You're his child. He will not turn a deaf ear unto you. And he'll speak to you. And just like Mary, Jesus' mother, said in his first miracle, do whatever he tells you to do. Hallelujah. And it'll bring victory and it'll bring blessing. You might be thinking, one more attack? Oh, Lord, I've had so many. Well, praise God. Hasn't he brought you through all of them? You're still standing, ain't you? You're still standing, ain't you? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. It's true, church. It's not just a nice Bible verse we quote to one another. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Your victory's in Christ. Do what he tells you to do. And that situation that has you so overwhelmed, that has your mind so bent, your heart so broken, that you're like, I don't know what to do. Inquire of him. Inquire of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's never been a time in my life since I've known him that when I've asked him, he hasn't spoke to me and showed me what to do. And if you look back over your life, every time, I'll guarantee it, you've inquired of him and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. Will you show me what to do? He's shown you. He's shown you. Now, I would like to tell you that every time he's done that to me, I did exactly what he told me to do. I'd be lying to you, though. But I will tell you this. The times that I know he has spoken to me beyond a shadow of a doubt, at times when it didn't make a lot of sense to me as Greg Browning, but I knew it was him. I did what he told me to do, and great blessing came. Great victory came. So it will for any child of God that does what he says to do. It's not rocket science, folks. Do what he says to do. Even maybe if it don't make 100% sense. I mean, God's obviously not going to tell you to do nothing immoral or illegal. But I'm saying if it doesn't make any sense to your natural intellect, and you know it's him telling you to do it, he's got a reason for it. If you look at the command he gave to David here, initially, to the human mind, it would make no sense at all. It would be like, well, Lord, we whipped him once, taken head on before. What's wrong with doing it that way again? We had such great success then. Isn't that how most of the church thinks? We had great success. But God said, no, I want it done differently this time. Because I'm in control. And I know what I'm doing. And I know it was for David and the armies of Israel's purpose. As they heard the wind from heaven blowing over the top of those mulberry bushes that they were hiding under. And when those Philistines heard that coming, they must have been just shaken right out of their boots. And it caused them to denigrate so in fear, they couldn't have fought against a team of a five-year-old baseball team would have whipped them then. Why? Because the wind of heaven, the power of the Holy Spirit, had gone before David and his armies. Let's preach right there for just a moment. Never forget, if you're doing what he tells you to do, the armies of heaven, the wind of heaven, the power of the Holy Ghost blows in front of you, hallelujah, and clears the pathway for you. And when David and them heard that sound, the Lord told them, now you go fight against them. They were so scared by that time, there wasn't no fight at all. They were totally wiped out again. And you don't read any more about the Philistines coming back against David. They came back against Israel after David, but under David's reign, this was it. They thought, we got to leave this king alone, at least for a while. We got to leave this nation alone, at least for a while, because this man that's on the throne now, he's anointed. It's the anointing that scares Satan. It's the anointing that scares Satan. Let's jump now to Acts 1 and 2. When Jesus was about to ascend back into heaven in Acts chapter 1, the word Luke wrote that he had been seen, Jesus had been seen post-resurrection by crowds above 500 people. I want you to think of that for a moment. You talk about a great proof of the resurrection. It's hard to get 500 people all at once to tell that big of a lie against somebody who ain't that popular. Jesus wasn't real popular at this time. 500 of them saw him walking around alive. Up to a crowd of 500, I should say. And Jesus knows, as he's about to ascend back, the word tells us that he, being assembled together with them, commanded them. Now, that's a strong word there if you study your Bible. And please don't think I'm preaching some crazy apostolic doctrine. The mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with you, with your standing in Christ as a believer. But that mighty baptism is an empowerment. And Jesus knew how much the church and how much individual Christians would need the wind to blow if they were going to do what he wanted them to do. And he says, being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart to Jerusalem until they receive the promise of the Father, power from on high. And then, of course, we jump over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one mind and one accord. And there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. Glory to God. And it filled them all with the Holy Spirit as cloven tongues of fire appeared and danced above their heads. Glory to God. Church, our hope is that wind blow in our life every day. Just like that general told those two pastors, and he wrote in his memoir, the only hope we had was for the wind to blow. But the good news is, if we'll ask him, he'll send the wind and fire. He'll send the power of the Holy Spirit into our situation, whatever it is, and do what he tells you to do. Do what he tells you to do. Don't argue with him. It might be, well, Lord, before you did it this way, and I did this, and it brought great victory. Uh-uh. If he's telling you to do it different, do it different. Do it different. It'll bring blessing. Don't fight against him. Don't try to use your human intellect against him. And you say, well, Lord, how would I know it's the Lord? Well, he's, like I said, he's not going to tell you to do anything immoral or illegal. You'll know the voice. He said, my sheep will know my voice. And I know as a child of God, when he speaks to me, I know it's him. I know it's him. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to present that I'm some arrogant, great, faith-filled person who can't get it wrong. No, when I feel he's speaking to me about something, just like David did, the first thing I do is I go and I begin to inquire of him. And not just once or twice, because I don't want to miss him. I know if you miss him at anything, it's not going to be good. He in grace at times, has allowed me, and I'm sure you'll bear witness with this, to go start down a path of foolishness or maybe get outside of what he really wants us to do. But as I keep inquiring of him, Lord, Lord, I want to be in your will. Lord, I want your blessing. I want to follow you. Lord, you show me what to do. And if I'm wrong, stop me. I won't care. Don't let me make a mistake, Lord. And he'll keep speaking to you if you'll do that. And he will clearly show you, do this. He don't mind. Let me tell you this as I'm starting to close. You're not going to bore the Lord. especially if you have a heart to follow him, especially if you have a heart to do his will. He is not going to become angered at you for asking him. As a matter of fact, I even think it's healthy for the believer to do this. If you feel you've heard something from God, keep inquiring about it. Lord, are you sure? Are you sure, Lord? And there's ultimately going to come the time that you're going to have to do whatever it is he's telling you to do. But up until that time, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking to be sure you're in his will and doing what he wants you to do. And David did that. And look at God sent the wind in front of him and sent the Holy Ghost in front of him. As I'm closing, I'm going to preach now. I'm going through a lot of transition personally, and this church is going through a lot of transition personally. But the Lord told me to tell every one of you here this today, and this is, I believe, from the Holy Spirit. I'm sending the wind in front of everybody. They have their faith in me. I'm sending the wind in front of them. Tell them not to fear the future, that I, their God, have them in my hand. And if they continue to seek my face, victory will be theirs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe you're bearing witness with that this morning. I know I am. Church, you're looking at somebody. And we're just family here this morning. It ain't no sense in putting on no pretense. I love you all. I love you, and I will always love you. And I appreciate your all's candor with you. Some of you have come to me and told me pretty much that this move we're making is out of the will of God. Well, okay. I'm sorry. I can't be that confident to stand here and tell you I'm absolutely in the will of God. Whoo, Pastor, why are you putting us through all this then? Because from the time he spoke to me to make this move to Pittsburgh, I've kept on praying. I've kept on praying. I'll be praying going down 70 the day it comes time for me to go to Pittsburgh. Lord, let the wheels fall off of this car. Don't kill me, but do whatever it takes. Don't let me get out of your will. I don't want to be out of your will. But as I have continued inquiring of the Lord, door after door continues to open, and I personally feel the nudging of the Holy Spirit, you're doing what I want you to do. And I've asked him, Lord, I don't understand it. Lord, I don't know everything. He said, if I wanted you to know it right now, I'd tell you. But he said, you've walked with me long enough to know that if you do what I tell you to do, everybody's going to get blessed by it. Can I tell you all something as my church family this morning? You don't want me to stay here if God's calling me away from here. Amen. Let that sink in for a moment. You don't want me to stay if God's moving me somewhere else. And I know there's uncertainty. There's uncertainty for me. There's uncertainty for you. But that word of the Lord, let's cling to it together. He's sending the wind and the fire in front of us. Hallelujah. I hear the sound of a going for this church. I hear the sound of a going for this church. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And who knows what God's going to do. But I do know this. If you all obey him as a body, and I obey him as an individual, victory and blessing are going to come. Victory and blessing are going to come. And I want that for all of us. I hear the sound of a going this morning. The wind is blowing. Hallelujah. The wind is blowing. The mulberry bushes are waving. Jesus Christ loves this church. He loves all of us. He knows what he's doing. And I trust him with that. I trust him with that. And I promise I'll shut up after this. Because y'all are. You're our family. We love you. Don't think for a second this thing ain't hard on us. As I've read them to you in my letter that I wrote, obeying God's the easy part. The hard part's leaving all of you all. But I don't know what God's got in store. It could be a situation like at the last minute on Mount Moriah. Something comes up and he tells Abraham, stay thy hand. It could be, okay? I'm seeking his face. But it could be also, just like Paul when he left Miletus. It's just time I'm moving this man on to preach somewhere else, but I'll send you. I won't forsake you. Praise God. Praise God. We're family. I think we needed to have this little talk this morning, even though it was one way. There's a sound of a going for this body. I've never lied to you as your pastor. I've never lied to you. I've never tried to preach things or prophesy things. I think you all know me. I take what I do deadly serious when it comes to speaking for the Lord. And I know this. He's spoken to my heart this week and said, you tell them the wind is blowing for them. I'm going out in front of them. I'll take care of them. Now, how he's going to do that, I don't know. But that's what I can tell you, and I don't know what reason. If God would stop this thing, I don't know why I would have started it or why I would have stopped it. But I'm telling you flat-footed and unequivocally, and you all are welcome to tell me different. You're my family. That's what family is. You know what? That's what I heard one man say, who was it? Maybe it was Brother Lorne. And I thought it was so poignant. He said, a friend is somebody who can call you a heretic and you still hug their neck at the end of the day. You know? That's friends and family. And you still might believe, oh, Pastor, you're missing the bad. Well, just keep praying for me because I'm praying for me and my family. I don't want to see us hurt. Don't want to see you hurt. But at this moment in time, there is no doubt in my mind that every move I have made and am making up to this point in time has been ordered none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will not back down from that. I know that in my heart. I'm not saying it won't change. I'm not saying I don't know the whole thing. But the wind is blowing. That's all we need to know. All we need to know is he's going to care for us. Amen? So don't get preconceived notions in our minds. And then let me turn this back now to the same. Oh, well, I got plenty of time. It's just 10 to 11. Oh, good. I'm just getting started. I thought Chris and him sang awful short this morning. No, I'm closing. I want to personalize it now because that's how the Lord told me to preach this. Are you in a battle this morning? Has Satan just repeatedly, he's kept coming back? And maybe he's coming back against you in some way right now. And maybe you're a little bit weary over it, thinking, Lord, how am I going to make it? You've made it every other time. He'll carry you through this time. Two things I feel the Holy Spirit prodding me to tell you as I close. Number one, inquire of him. Keep inquiring of him. And number two, do what he tells you to do. It may be different than the last thing he told you to do. And I'm going to close this illustration. I loved it. I had forgotten where I'd gotten it from. I had it written down. Chris had asked me, you know, Pastor, where do you get all these illustrations at? And short answer, Chris, is everywhere. I'm always on the look for one. Really, the news, the internet, talking to people, their individual stories. When I've learned you need that stuff as a preacher, so now nobody's ever going to talk to me the rest of the time before I leave here. But no, that's how it is. But this story, I was watching Brother Swire's classics, some of the crusades he preached back in the 80s, and it came back to me where this story came from of Tommy Mullaney, who was a drunk. Tommy Anderson was a drunk. On the streets of L.A., he frequented the bars right around the corner from where the great Azusa Street Revival was taking place. And one night he stumbled in drunk, accidentally thinking he was going into a bar, into that great Azusa Street Revival. And the Lord gloriously saved him and baptized him in the Holy Ghost that very same night. Now think what I'm about to tell you. At one time, this wouldn't have made sense to me in my theology, but now it makes perfect sense. The Lord saved him, baptized him in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, but he couldn't break free of the alcohol. He still found himself going back and from time to time, not always, and getting drunk again. He was embarrassed over it now. See, before he didn't care about it. He wasn't born again. But now it broke his heart when he would fail and go and get drunk. And he kept crying out to the Lord for deliverance. And there was the Azusa Street Church, and then just around the corner from that Azusa Street Church was a row of about five bars that everybody in them knew him. He'd been there for years drinking, a drunk. And he came out of the church service one night at about 9 o'clock, and when it was getting ready to turn the corner to walk by all those bars, and the temptation was coming on him to drink. And he began to cry there on the corner. He said, Lord, I love you. You've saved me. You've baptized me in the Holy Ghost. I feel I'm such a shame to you and to your gospel, the times that these, because these people know me. And the Lord said, I'll deliver you right now if you'll do one thing. He said, I want you to get down on your hands and knees. And I want you to crawl past all of those bars. And he knew it was the Lord speaking to him immediately. He dropped to his hands and his knees. And as he began to crawl past the bars, the folks in the bars that knew him thought he was drunk. And they were out gathering around him. Hey, Tommy, partying again, huh? You know. And he, with tears rolling down his cheeks, he kept crawling. As the crowds came out of those bars and began to follow him, so he was crawling down the street. But about halfway down the row of bars, they began to realize he wasn't drunk as they saw the tears rolling out of his cheeks. And then they began to mock him and make fun of him, calling him a holy roller and a Jesus freak. But finally, he got to that last bar. And as he crawled past it with that crowd behind him, mocking him, and ridiculing him for his faith in Jesus Christ, he stood up and he wrote that I felt the power of God flow through me when I stood up at the end of that row of bars like I never had before in my life, even when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And from that day on, Tommy Anderson never took a drink of alcohol. And he went as a missionary to Venezuela and Africa and became known as the angel of the Ivory Coast because he won so many there to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God told him to do that. Now you see, God specifically spoke him to do a specific thing. It wasn't immoral, illegal. Granted, it was a little bit out of the ordinary. But he did what the Lord told him to do. Here's what it is. That is specific. God will deal with us as individuals. You know? If I was a drunk and I went down to Springfield and won deliverance and heard something like this, think, okay, I'm going to crawl past the bars. You could crawl on your hands and knees until they were bloody, and you probably won't get deliverance because the Lord didn't tell you to do it that way. Do what he tells you to do. Do what he tells you to do. Because the wind and fire will go before you. Always as a child of God. Don't let what's coming against you right now overwhelm you. Inquire of him and do what he tells you to do. He'll tell you to do something. It might just be just stand. Just stand and let me fight. Well, that's the hardest one of all, ain't it? It is for me because I'm a person of action. I want to get in the fight. Really, that's my nature. I want to get in the fight. You know, take them head on. You all know me. But no, the Lord might tell you, you stand still in me and I'll go before you. And I'll destroy and fight for you. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Would you stand? I'm going to ask everyone who will now, would you come and present yourselves, if you can, at the altar of the Lord? And there's no disrespect if you need to remain in your seat. Don't feel bad for that. But if you can, just... Heavenly Fathers, we're coming today. I'm asking for the wind to blow. I'm asking for the power of the Holy Spirit to saturate our lives and the sanctuary. Every soul who's here today, Lord, I'm asking in the mighty name of Jesus for that wind of heaven to blow through and upon them and over them. Lord, we need the wind to blow for us today. Lord, if no more than just an assurance that you're with us, and that you're going to fight for us. Lord, you may speak to some to give them something specific to do today concerning the situation they're in. Oh, the Holy Ghost is moving mightily right now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Give me just a few moments here. I believe I have some instructions for us from the Holy Spirit. Some of you, I don't know who, you know the Philistines have come back around one more time. Satan has come back against you one more time. And maybe you're wondering, Lord, what should I do? Do this at this altar this morning. And I felt the Holy Spirit prodding this in my soul throughout this message and even more so right now. Number one, you inquire, ask Jesus Christ what you're to do in this situation. Ask him what you're to do. inquire of him, and he's going to answer you. He might just tell you, stand still. In other words, you do nothing. Just keep believing me. He might give you something very specific to do that normally would be out of your character and something you normally would not do. That's fine. When we're operating in his character and his personality, that's when we'll get something done. What he's asking you to do might involve, as it did for Tommy Anderson, maybe it might involve a bit of humiliation. Maybe it might require some humility of you to go to somebody you've been mad at and tell them, I'm sorry, I forgive you for whatever you've done. Whatever it is. But that wind is blowing around this altar this morning. I feel the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost in a very, very special and gentle way right now. And I believe you do too. And as we go to him in prayer this morning, I want you to take that heart-rending, mind-bending, overwhelming situation that the enemy has attacked you with and take it to him and ask him, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And do what he tells you to do. It can't be any simpler than that at this altar service today. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we come as King David did so many thousands of years ago, knowing we can't do anything. Lord, we are incapable. We are powerless without you. Lord, we don't know when to go out or when to come in, except you show us. We humble ourselves this morning under the mighty hand of God. And Lord, we come asking you today, first of all, we inquire of you, Lord Jesus Christ. We know that you won the victory for us already on the cross. But in this life, we're going to need many manifestations of that victory to take place in our lives as we live in this world. And we come today inquiring of you, Lord Jesus. We come today inquiring of you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we open our hearts. We ask the Holy Spirit to make our hearts pliable at this moment, so that we'll be willing to do whatever you say you want us to do. And Lord, there's going to be great victories come out of this service today because we've taken the time to inquire of you, and we've taken the time, Lord, to open our hearts and let your Holy Spirit soften them to whatever you tell us to do. And Lord, we'll obey that because we want your will in our lives. We need your victory in whatever situation that we're facing today that's so overwhelming to us, but it's not to you, Lord. You've already won our victory, Lord Jesus. You've already won our victory. You've already fought for us, Lord. But Lord, we as weak human vessels of clay, we need that help as we live this life, and you know that. And I know in all of my heart you're giving it to everyone who's asking right now. The Holy Spirit, I know, is moving deep in every heart in this sanctuary today. And Lord, we give you praise for your grace toward us today. And that you don't have to speak to us. You would not have to. You've already done so much to help us by shedding your blood and giving your life on Calvary's cross. But what a gracious Savior you are. And that you call us your own. There's something the Holy Spirit wants me to tell everybody this morning. When those Philistines thought that they had two armies in front of them, when Satan looks at you as God's child, he does not see you. You're in Christ. He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus coming against him. He sees Jesus praying the prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Never forget what Satan sees. We know what God sees. Hallelujah. He sees us in Christ. May I submit to you this morning as believers in the cross of Jesus Christ and his victory on that cross. That's exactly what Satan sees because your faith is in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's scared to death of you, just like those Philistines became scared. Not of us per se, but of what he sees and what he hears. And when we're speaking, he's hearing the voice of Jesus Christ. He's seeing the victor, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he's scared. He's scared. He may have come in for another round against you, but right now he's scared. He's scared. Because like King David said, whatever, I don't know what he's come against you with this morning, but our reply as the body of Christ is, we come against you in the name of the Lord God of the armies of Israel. Hallelujah. We come at you in the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ, who has defeated you already. Soak in his victory. Soak in his promise. Soak in his direction today. And don't let it stop today after we leave this altar. He may have spoken something very specific to you today. He may have told you to stand still. Keep inquiring. Keep inquiring. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking, the Bible says, until that victory is totally manifest in the natural. But today, rest assured, you're walking out of here in victory. You're walking out of here in victory. You're a child of God. There's no defeat in you as long as our faith is in Christ and what he did at the cross. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a mighty hand of praise today. Glory to God. Thanks be to Jesus, who always gives us the victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it's been a delight to be with you this morning. Do you want something, Mom?